What's going on, everybody? This is your host, Daniel Congiolosi, up here in Alaska, and you're listening to the Shooter's Apprentice Podcast. All right, guys, so I'm going to apologize right now. It has been a long time since we put an episode out again. It seems like it's kind of a seasonal thing for me. Every summer I get busy and the podcast kind of falls by the wayside. And this summer was no exception. I had plans to continue doing the podcast through the summer and things kind of happened. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. But the important thing is we're back for the winter season. There's been a couple times we've skipped over the winter and I got busy, but this year I'm going to try really hard to do weekly episodes all winter, and then, again, I'll talk about it a little bit, but there's some changes coming up in my life that should allow me to have more time to record in the summers also, so we'll talk about that a little bit, and I'll kind of let everybody know what's going on, but I wanted to give, just right off the bat, apologize to everybody, because I know at the start of, or the end of the last batch of episodes I talked about that I was going to keep going, and I just kind of fell off the face of the planet there. But we're back in track. You know, I keep putting it off every week to get back on, but I don't have everything lined up. Like today, I don't have a script. We're just going to be sitting here talking. But, you know, it's time to get back into it. It's, you know, getting into the winter season. Realistically, I'm out here recording in my camper again, and the temperatures are about 22 degrees, so it's just about the same weather it was when I stopped recording before, but it's on the other side. You know, I've skipped right over the summer and on in the winter. So, here we are sitting. Like I said, we don't really have an episode structure today. We're just going to sit here and talk. I've got here with me a Brick House Fuma Maduro that I'm smoking on. Pretty decent little budget cigar. Not my favorite budget cigar, but a decent budget cigar. And we're going to sit here and puff on this. This is a 6x60 ring gauge. Thanks, that decent cigar. And and I got a bottle of Coke, and then I have a bottle of Crown Peach. And no, I'm not going to mix those two, but I might sip on the Crown a little bit. Normally, it wouldn't be something I normally drink, but when I was cleaning out the camper and kind of getting ready to do the recording in here, I came across it. Somebody had given it to me over the summer, and it was sitting in here. I go, well, what the heck? We'll go ahead and sip on this a little bit. And then, I don't know how bad it will be in the audio, but I do have an electric heater running in here. Hopefully, I've got it set up kind of pointing away from my recording area, and it won't be too much background noise. But it does get a little chilly in the camper when it's down in the 20s, and I'm just in here with, you know, barehanded trying to run the computer and that kind of stuff. I found a potential co-host for the show. We haven't been able to get times up to do an episode together yet, but he has a kind of a range for a warm recording studio. The Bus Barn has a little apartment that they use for meetings and stuff, and they gave us permission to use it in the evenings to record podcast once a week. But I wanted to get the show back on the road, so today I'm just recording in the camper just like what I used to do. So let's go ahead and talk about this summer, what happened and kind of kept me from being able to continue the podcast this summer. So when we, about a month ago, I went through and I re-listened to the last couple episodes to kind of get a feel for where I was when I knocked it off, and then I got busy again and didn't get to start recording again, and I kind of forgot that, but we were talking about the Duramax that I just bought, and we were talking about that scout rifle, or the practical rifle concept, and that went nowhere this summer. It's still on the backlog of things I would like to do. But I was waiting till I could get back into the podcast. And hopefully the YouTube channel here, we'll talk about that here in a minute, about where I can kind of show off what's going on. So when we left off, we were talking about the practical rifle concept. We were talking about some different things, the graders I just bought and some other stuff. And then, boom, I just kind of fell off the face of the planet. And what happened is when I went to work, this summer, so like last summer, we worked 6-10s. I had any time in the evenings. I had a day off on the weekends to be able to, you know, do record. And I thought this summer was going to be the same way. In fact, I thought this summer would be a little less work and a little more free time since I was closer to home. And it wasn't. I worked 7 days a week from May until the 4th of October. And it was, like I said, 7 days a week. I averaged like 15 and a half hours a day this summer. Zero free time. I was fairly close to home, but I was out staying in the job site in the camper. And it just didn't work out to record. And I actually took all my recording equipment with me and was going to try. And actually had every intention to record episodes in the evening out there in the gravel pit, you know, on site. And something I had not anticipated on was when you got 25 campers all parked in a circle and everybody's got a 7,500-watt generator running, the only thing you can hear with this stupid microphone I have is generators running in the background. And I just wasn't happy with that, with the audio quality I was getting, so I just went ahead and put a scratch on. And then, thereafter a little bit, I got so busy I didn't even have time to think about trying to do an episode. So, it kind of got blown to the back burner. We got some things going on different this year. So we finished up that road construction project. My last day was October 4th, and then I've been busy the last couple of days. I'm recording, what, today, the 27th, I believe. So I've been busy the last couple of weeks trying to get everything ready for winter because I was just gone all summer. Even though I was only, at the end there, I was only 30 miles from home. We got towards this end of the project. But 15 and a half hours a day, I'd get back to the camper, I'd crash in the camper, I'd come home like every other day for a shower. And I just didn't have time to get anything done. So I've been trying to get everything done these last couple of weeks to get ready for winter. I've been trying to get all the firewood cut, been trying to get some work done on the house. We put a new Toyo stove in the house. All these different things, you know, it's just been crazy busy. My truck was having some issues all summer that I wasn't able to work on it because I was so busy working. So I've been working on my truck. And, yeah, it's just been, it was just crazy, crazy, crazy. But I'm off now. I'm actually going to be going back to work here in about a week and a half, maybe closer to a week. But I should have more time this time, with this next adventure to, be able to do podcast recording. And what I'm actually doing, and we'll see how it works out, but this might actually turn into a permanent full-time thing for me. I'm going to go drive the haul road. I'm going to do the ice road trucking thing this winter. I got in with a really good company that willing to kind of work with me, getting a little more time off and do this, that, and it's still really good money. And after this summer, with just how busy it was, I am heavily considering. No, I might go back to paving next summer. We'll see how this, we're going to give it the winter to see how I like, you know, trucking full time. You know, during the summers when I'm paving and that kind of stuff. I always end up hauling equipment and doing that. I've got a fair amount of trucking experience doing that. So we're gonna go ahead and try trucking full time. It's a little better money annually, and it'll be a little more, you know, like what I'm trying to do is like work 4 days a week and then take 3 day weekends and I'll be home every other night, and it'll be really good. So hopefully that works out. And then if this works out, we're probably going to sell the cabin we're in right now. And, well, we're looking at a place up there in Fairbanks, and that's where I was talking about things maybe changing with the podcast a little bit, because the place that we are potentially looking at right now has a outbuilding that's probably about 500 square feet with a little workshop garage on the side of it. And I think that little side building would just become my man cave where I did all my gun stuff and all that kind of stuff. I thought I'd have a great spot to be able to do the audio and possibly, probably video versions of the podcast. And then I'd like to get back into doing the YouTube video and doing gun reviews and doing that kind of stuff. But I used to always really enjoy that. But I just, the last couple of years, it's been too hectic trying to do it. So that's what happened to me over the summer. That's kind of where we're sitting at. So we'll talk about where we left off on the podcast. I mentioned the three big things. We were talking about that scout, or the practical rifle concept. We were talking about that Duramax I had just bought, and we were talking about the graders. And the practical rifle project is still sitting there. It's still on the back of my mind. It's still something I really want to do. I got some time to look at some rifles over the summer. I got a couple ideas. We'll probably do an update episode just on that. This episode is just kind of a update, what's coming up, you know, kind of get you guys filled in with what happened over the summer. and give you some project I'm working on now that we will do episodes on, kind of give you guys some content to look forward to. And then we'll start rolling out production again. Hopefully I'm going to go back to recording every Monday just like I had been. Or publishing every Monday anyway. So the practical rifle concept, I've been thinking about this. I still think I'm probably going to go 308 on that. I might do 358 Winchester. I looked at a couple rifles. There's one I'm still heavily considering buying. And well, like I said, when we do the touch-up episode on the practical rifle concept, we will talk about all that. Then we'll just touch on that Duramax I bought real quick. Still got it. Still a good truck. Had some corks, but I pretty much got them pretty well worked out now. The graders, I didn't have any time to work on them, so they're sitting in my yard. I had them towed over here to my place about 2 months ago now, and they're just sitting there until probably next spring when I might have time to work on them, or I might just sell them. There's a little bit of buyer's remorse buying them. Not that they were too much of a project, but I just anticipated having time to be able to work on them, and I just didn't. So they're just sitting there, and they're kind of an eyesore. They're not the most lovely yard ornament, you know, 1950s yard grader sitting right in front of the living room window where they're parked at right now. So I'm sure my wife's real thrilled about that, but we'll deal with them in the spring when I have a little more time to mess with them. So, and then I bought another truck over the summer. I bought a Ford F-250. So it's kind of an interesting project. I bought it off this guy. I got it, I want to say dirt cheap, but I got a really good deal on it. And it's a 97 F-250 with a plow on it, and it's got this nice utility box on it, you know, like tool bed. And I got it for $2,800. And I thought that was a pretty good deal. It's only got 100, and I had like 128,000 miles on it. And I was really excited about it. You know, I had the plow truck that caught fire last year on me, and I needed a replacement for that. So I got this one. And he wanted $5,000 for it, and I talked him down because I told him, you know, with the plow truck, these things get run hard. There's a good possibility I'm going to have to put a transmission in it. And I don't want to be into it for more than like $6,000 total. So if, you know, I'll give you this for it, which was the $2,800. Actually, I think I offered him $2,500 and he took $2,800. And that way, if I do have to put a tranny into it, I'm still into it for what the truck's worth to me. And he was cool with that. He understood. He didn't really know anything about the truck. So I bought it and I drove it around out of the job site a little bit over the summer. And it seemed like it was running good, you know. And then it would kind of do this thing where it would skip over second and third gear. So I was like, it's probably going to need a tranny. But if you shifted it manually, 1, 2, 3, overdrive, you know, it would be fine. So I was just kind of driving it around the job site like that, shifting it manually. And then I was driving home with it the one evening, and I let up on the throttle to go from a 65 to a 35 speed limit reduction. And when I went to go get back on the throttle, there was just nothing there. No forward, no reverse, no nothing. So I parked it, and I went ahead and took it up to the transmission shop and had them rebuild the tranny. And they rebuilt the tranny on it, and they called me up and said, hey, good news is the truck's back together. The bad news is as soon as it shifts out of first gear, it tries to throw itself right into overdrive. I was like, okay, well, that's interesting, because that's what it was doing before. And I, you know, we assumed the transmission was bad. So they diagnosed it, and they did a bunch of stuff, and they thought the ECM was, well, even before that. So they went to go rebuild the tranny, and he called me up, and he's like, the pump and the torque converter and the valve body and everything is full of metal. So the $3,000 transmission rebuild turned into a $4,300 transmission rebuild because they wanted to put a bunch of hard parts in it so that we didn't have a brand new tranny full of metal, which I get. I understood. I was okay with that. So they get that done, and then they called me up, and they're like, well, it's still doing this weird shifting thing, and they thought the ECM was bad. So I told them to go ahead and put an ECM in it, and then it sat there for like a month, and they couldn't get the parts. So I finally just went and got it, and I've been using it. You shift 1, 2, 3, or 1, so you go 1, 2, and then you got to turn the overdrive off, shift it into drive, and then turn the overdrive back on once you get up to, you know, up to highway speed. And it runs fine doing that. I'm not 100% convinced the ECM is actually bad. I think it might be the throttle positioner sensor, and it's just one of them things that I can use it the way it is, And I don't have time to mess with it right now, but I'm probably just going to start throwing parts at it and try to figure that out here pretty soon. But overall, it's not a bad little truck. It's nice to have a truck that the dog can go with me in, because Tika, he really, our male, he really likes to go on rides with me. And I don't let him into the Duramax because it's got the leather seats and all that. And I haven't had time to go get seat covers fit for it yet. And, so he gets all disappointed not being able to ride in the Duramax, and I don't want him tearing up the leather, so it's nice to have a more beat-up truck that he can ride around with me in. And then I can, of course, I can use it for keeping the driveway plowed. You know, we're already getting snow up here, so, yeah, it's been a little bit of a project. So from there, I think we will go ahead and jump into the guns I did buy this summer that we will be talking about in upcoming episodes. And it was kind of funny because I was like, oh, I haven't bought any guns this year. But I look back now and I actually bought several. I don't remember if I bought the Charles Daly M4 clone before or after I stopped recording. I'll have to go back and see if we talked about that one. But there's a shotgun we can talk about, that Turkinelli. Actually pretty impressed with that one for the money. And then the one I was really excited about, and I still am, it's still a good gun. I shouldn't say I've lost interest in it. I've been on a six gun kick lately. But the one that I bought that I was super excited about when I heard they came back out with them was Rossi started making the 454 Casules again. And some of you guys will probably remember I had one of the early, the old Puma 454s. That had the ugly loading gate up on, or the loader that had like the 22 style tube with the loading port up on the tube. I really liked that rifle. I shot a bunch of game with it. Really nice rifle. And then things happen and I don't have it anymore. But that's actually the rifle that I shot myself with. And if you go back, it's poor audio quality, but like episode 2, I talked about that. And I might have to tell that story again one of these days with the better audio quality. But anyway, so I heard Rossi was making the 454s again. And this time they're stainless instead of blue. They got rid of that ugly loading port up on the tube. It's just a traditional lever action. And I heard they were making them. I got excited. And then the next time I went into the gun shop, they had one there. And I was like, oh, that's cool. How many of these did you get? And he's like, oh, I got like 26 of them. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I guess, you know, so you'll have them for a little while. And he's like, no, that's the second to the last one. And I was like, you sold like 24 of them in a week? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to miss that opportunity. So I went ahead and bought it. And shot it a bit. Really cool rifle. I haven't shot it a whole lot yet. But I want to work on it a little bit. I want to probably put one of those, get rid of that goofy safety up on top of the bolt. And put a peep sight right there. And then, you know, I put a Simply Rugged sling on it. But really slick rifle. Really happy with it. And then, but the interesting thing about that rifle was before I bought that one, I had ordered one of the Rossi stainless 20-inch carbines in 44 Magnum. Because I got a bunch of 44 Magnum ammo. And I don't have a 44 Magnum revolver anymore. Because I sold them all this spring. When we had that other stuff going on. So I was like, okay, cool, let's go ahead and order this carbine, and then I'll wait for the right deal to come along on an older Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum. So, like, I bought that 454, and then, like, a week later, the 44 came in. So I ended up with two of those rifles. And the 454 is a little slicker. The 44 is still off, real nice, though. And I think I've only fired, like, three rounds out of that 44 so far. So we'll talk about those two a bit. So, yeah, so the Rossi 454, the Rossi 44, I got those. And then, it seemed like there was something else I got, but I can't remember what it was. But then here in the last week, I've actually bought two more revolvers. I've been kind of watching that Ruger came out with that Super Wrangler. And the local gun shop had gotten some of those in, and I had made a comment. Yeah, because the whole time I've been saying that Ruger should have made the Wrangler with a convertible and adjustable sights, not the fixed sights. And I kind of said the whole time, well, if I see one of these, I'll buy them. you know, if they start making that one, I will buy one. And they started making the Super Wrangler, which is a 22-22 mag convertible. And 5.5-inch barrel, adjustable sights. You know, 5.5, I think that's kind of the sweet spot, 5.5 for a single-action revolver. And so I put my money where my mouth is, and I went and bought one. It's not like they're cheap. They're like, I think here in Alaska, I paid $289 for it. So I got that. I've been shooting it quite a bit, and I actually really like that pistol, so we'll probably end up doing a whole episode on that one. Really, really liking that pistol. Really sweet little pistol for the money. And then the other day, we had to go to Fairbanks. The wife had a doctor's appointment, and we had a doctor's appointment, I stayed with her for that one, and then she had an eye exam the same day, so I dropped her off for the eye exam, and then I was like, well, what does the husband do while his wife's at the eye doctor? You go to the gun shop, right? So I went over to one of my favorite little gun shops there in Fairbanks, and they had a technically used, Ruger Blackhawk. And when I say technically used, I don't think the thing had ever been fired. They got it in used, but it was in the box. I mean, the thing, if it has been fired, it's been fired once outside of the factory. I mean, it is spotless. So I got to looking at that, and it's not a flat top. It's not a new model Blackhawk. It is a new model Blackhawk, but it's not the new flat top Blackhawk. It's just the standard old big frame Blackhawk. And it was a 45 ACP, 45 Colt convertible, 5.5-inch barrel right there in that sweet spot that I really like. And he had a price tag on it that wasn't bad, but I offered him less, and he took it. So I ended up walking out of the store with that one. And I've been shooting it. I actually just got it home yesterday. So I've been shooting it today. Really, really like those 45 Colt convertibles. You guys know I'm a 44 mag guy. I will sit here and tell you that the 44 mag is my favorite cartridge. My favorite pistol cartridge. But if I was to sit here and tell you that the 44 mag was the most practical pistol ever built, I'd probably actually pick that 45 Colt convertible, because there's just so much versatility to it. You know, if you want cheap six-gun practice, you can put the 45 ACP cylinder in there. If you're going to use it for home defense, you can use either cylinder, because, you know, not that I think you need special home defense loads, but if you feel the need to have, you know, personal protection ammo, both the 45 ACP and the 45 Colt have a ton of self-defense loadings out there. And then with the 45 Colt, you know, and those big frame Blackhawks, you can get some pretty stout loads for them. Buffalo Boar's got a load, it's like a 350 grain at like 1300 foot per second, you know. And that is no slouch in that, you know, in that 40 out of that 45 Colt, you know, that's right up there with pushing, if not exceeding, 44 mag territory. So you can do a lot with that revolver, you know, from, you know, the 45 ACP with the full metal jacket. You can shoot small game without tearing up too much meat if you have to make body shots, you know. And it's the same thing with the 45 Colt. You can use cowboy action type 45 Colt loads for putting some small game on the table. And then, honestly, you know, it wouldn't be my first choice, but those heavy 45 Colts will, you know, you can go out and kill a deer or bear or elk, whatever you need to. You know, or, and like I said, self-defense, that 45 Colt, 45 ACP convertible might possibly be the most practical six-gun ever built. And we'll talk about that more. I'll probably do a whole episode on that coming up. You know, how the gun shoots, how the gun handles, all that kind of stuff. I ordered a set of Eagle Stags for that gun. Again, it's a 5.5-inch, which I feel is kind of the sweet spot for a single action. You know, I've had 45 convertibles before, both in 7.5-inch and 4 5/8, and I like the 4 5/8 more than the 7.5, but I feel like you'll lose a little bit of velocity, and your sight radius isn't really great for making those longer shots, you know, out past 100 yards or out to 100 yards. You don't have a whole lot of sight radius on that one. And then the 7.5-inches are just, they're really a little bit too much gun for packing on the belt all the time. That's a lot of gun to pack. It's a lot of gun to draw. So I feel like the 5.5-inch is really kind of the sweet spot between still being small enough, compact enough to carry and use, you know, day in, day out, all the time, but still give enough sight radius and enough velocity to really make a good working man six gun. I've always really kind of liked that 5, 5.5-inch. And the same thing goes for double actions. I like a 5-inch on a double action too. But yeah, so we'll probably end up doing an episode on that 45 Colt. We'll do one on that Ruger Super Wrangler. We're gonna do an episode on that on the new Rossi revolver, not revolvers, the new Rossi lever actions, because I've been really impressed with that new 454. They've definitely stepped up their game, in my opinion. It's a really nice lever action. And we'll do an episode on that one. We'll do an episode on that, on the two revolvers. We'll probably kind of make the 22 episode like a 22 revolver episode, not just about the Wrangler. But this is just some, you know, this kind of get the ball rolling. And then we'll do an episode on the scout rifle, the practical rifle concept. I mean, that should give us some time to get the ball rolling. I'm going to come up with some more content and get this show back on the road. So, all that being said, hopefully this will be the last episode where I don't have a script, or I don't have a co-host, because I got my friend Joel, who's local, and he's willing to come on the podcast. Real interesting guy. Almost identical interest to me. He likes guns. He has almost the same taste in guns I have. He likes old chainsaws. He believes in Sasquatch. Like, he's just an all-around really cool guy. So we'll probably do some episodes with him, and when we're doing episodes with him, they probably won't be scripted. We'll probably just do kind of table talk, and I'm really hoping it works out to have him on the show, you know, more often, because it does make recording a lot easier to have a second person to talk to. And on the listening side, I think it makes the show a lot more entertaining as well. So really looking forward to that. So this gives us some things to kind of get the ball rolling, get back into shape on the getting some episodes out. So all that being said, I think that's honestly about all I've got for today. Like I said, it was just kind of a real quick sit down, catch you guys up with what's going on, and get this show back on the road. As always, you guys can find me on social media. I'm on Instagram as The Shooter's Apprentice. So you can look up the Facebook page, The Shooter's Apprentice Podcast. A lot of you guys are friends with me on my personal Facebook page. You can check me out. Like I said, Instagram, YouTube, The Shooter's Apprentice. TikTok, I think, is the same. If you're on TikTok. So, yeah, go ahead and find me on social media. And then again, if you guys have any questions or comments or ideas for the show, you can always email those to dansgunstuff@gmail.com. So, I think that's all. I think that's everything I've got for today. I'm going to go ahead and get this one wrapped up, and we will see you guys next week. In the meantime, stay safe out there, and don't shoot yourself in the foot.
Same nail too long. My ears can't stand to hear the same old song. And I don't leave the highway long enough to bog down in the mud. 'Cause I've got rambling fever in my blood. I caught this rambling fever long ago, when I first heard a lonesome whistle blow. If someone said I ever gave a damn, they damn sure told you wrong. I've had rambling fever.